Big Red Revival.
Well, Saturday was one of those days in the state of Nebraska. Beautiful weather, a football win in the afternoon, and what is being deemed as the game of the century, the volleyball game at night. Huskers coming away with two big wins for both programs, and a beautiful Saturday in the state of Nebraska. Zach, how are we doing, man? How would you think of Saturday? What were you up to?
Yeah, it was a great day to be a Husker. I mean, when you pull off two wins like that, I mean, you do what you're supposed to do on the football field, and you do what a lot of people didn't think could be done on the volleyball court, in beating the number one team in the country with no seniors on the roster and arguably one of your best players and leaders out for the game. Yep. Just continue to be impressed by the volleyball team and just the program overall and what they can do. But yeah, I mean, we're in the thick of it now. We're in October, which is my favorite month. You got the AMC Fear Fest going on, and so I love all the Halloween movies and stuff. But
oh yeah,
today marks the first day where you have all four of the big four sports. Yep. Active in the swing of things. So it's an exciting time. The weather's changing, and it's, you know, again, a good couple weeks to be a Husker. So, you know, you told me after being 0-2 we might be sitting 4-3 and have one of the worst offenses in the country. I might call you a liar, but here we are. So yeah.
Yep. Hey, you know my old favorite saying, you know, by hook or by crook, man. You know, it's all about just get these W's. You know, in 5 years I'm not gonna remember how it looked, just, you know, that it ended up in a W. So Saturday was a great day in Nebraska. Nebraska managed to get a 17-9 victory over Northwestern, and could be described as setting, you know, football back 20 years offensively. So, but Nebraska's defense continues to prove to be, you know, dominant, bailing out Nebraska's offense, you know, turning over the ball in their own end of the field, and Nebraska's defense just, you know, answer the bell each and every time. You know, Nash Hubmaker had himself quite a day. And then, you know, kind of this same theme we've been seeing throughout the season was just kind of a new guy stepping up. I mean, we had guys that, you know, on our scholarship that I've never even heard of before getting out there and getting, you know, sack and a half. So, Zach, what continues to impress you about this defense and, you know, what they've been able to do all season?
Yeah, it continues to be really a group effort. You know, like you said, there's always going to be somebody else stepping up. I think you have your staples of the group. I think there was a lot of praise given to Ty Robinson over the past couple of days from coaches and players. And,
yep,
you know, he's a guy that's just kind of disrupting things in the middle and allowing Nash and those other guys. Prince Will had a really, really good game. Jamari, yep, Butler had a sack. And so I think, you know, just that disruption from Ty Robinson has been able to, you know, allow other guys to make plays, and then it makes things easier on the linebackers and secondary too, because, you know, when we have 8 sacks and 13 tackles for loss, you know, that takes a whole lot of, you know, the load off of the the DBs, and those guys are out in coverage shoulders. So our D line has been playing really, really well. You know, we had some mistakes, but there was two key plays I think that stuck out for me from the defense, and it's the things that aren't really necessarily as sexy, but a couple guys, Omar Brown and Malcolm Herzog, had some really big plays just chasing the guy down, preventing a touchdown, yep, and it amounted to field goals. And so, you know, those were two plays that could have broke things open. And it's the want to, it's the hustle, it's the, you know, just the ferociousness of this defense that just continues to impress me.
Yeah, and, you know, right out of the gate, the defense was put in a tough spot, you know, with Heinrich, you know, throwing a pick early in the to start the game off, and then defense coming in, being able to hold them to 3 points. And then, like you mentioned, you know, Hartsock kind of got beat over the top there, but, you know, some guys would have kind of gave up on it, but he was able to run the guy down to save a touchdown and was able to hold Northwestern to 3 points on that possession. And, you know, in a tight ball game like this where offense is at a premium, every point absolutely matters. So You know, to get out of there with a 17-9 victory. You know, it's just collecting wins, and, you know, we're kind of like that. I feel like Nebraska's on that. You remember The Price is Right, where they had that yodeling guy going up. I feel like that's us going up the mountain. I feel like that's us, you know, heading to six wins. You know, it's like, all right, we're still going. So, you know, it's the first time since, I believe, 2006, Nebraska's had a winning record in the month of October. So, you know, there's a lot of people that are going to, you know, have been discussing about how it looked and all this. And, you know, as I've said from day one, I've said it since the beginning of this podcast that, you know, we're a bad team, guys. So, you know, just enjoy it. Let's just, you know, as Roel keeps saying, you know, keep your head where your feet are at and, you know, just enjoy the ride. And, you know, this is something that Nebraska hasn't been able to do in a while. We have a winning record in October. We're heading to bowl, you know, heading what it appears to be a bowl, you know, for the first time in 6 years. So, you know, I'm just enjoying it game by game, and I'm not trying to, you know, just read the big picture of it and, you know, what's this mean for next season and where is this guy going to be at and all this. And also, I just think it's really a testament to Coach Rhule, you know, being a, you know, who we thought we were getting as a coach, because, you know, this team is, you know, lacking in talent across a lot of places. You know, I saw the tweet that came out Monday that 8 true freshmen played in the game Saturday. So, you know, and unfortunately, the injuries continue to pile up. We'll get into that here in a second. But, you know, it's just, you know, to come in and not be able to have, you know, your starting quarterback that you brought along, your starting running backs, basically your whole starting offensive line and every single last one of your receivers that you've basically started the season out with. You know, you've just been trying to piecemeal it together. And still to go in there and get victories and, you know, beat Big Ten teams. You know, it says a lot about the coaching staff in general. What do you think about the job that Rhule's done so far with what he's been dealt this season?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he could be doing a better job. You know, that Minnesota game is always going to hang over our head because that was like a fresh start. And we had, you know, we had our entire roster at that point, believe it or not. Yep. But, you know, just...
It's another one possession game we've won.
Yeah.
You know, we got that one out of the way and now another one possession win.
Yeah. But just, I don't know, the overall, you know, preparation, you know, we've been able to see from him and his coaching staff, just the continued positive, you know, mindset when things got a little bit rough in the beginning of the year. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, little tidbit, but, as most do, some NFL scouts were, you know, around, practice or at a game or something and let Matt Rhule know that they, from what he's seen so far this year, they practice the second hardest of any team he's seen in the country. And so I think that
just maybe behind Georgia.
Yep. Right behind Georgia, which is good company. Absolutely. And so, you know, that might contribute to a little bit of the injuries, but at the same time, you know, these guys got to toughen up. They haven't been toughed up in the last two coaching, you know, regimes. And so it's you know, it's a little bit of shock to the system to them, but it's only going to make them better. And it's only going to make these freshmen that we see that are already coming out and making plays and, you know, just like, you know, playing older than they are and more experienced than they are, you know, that's just a testament of what they're being taught in practice. And, you know, just the toughness that's being instilled in them, day in and day out. So
yeah,
couldn't be happier with Rhule. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really next man up type thing. I mean, we saw freshman Malachi Coleman get in there, you know, hit his big shot over the top there on the defense to kind of seal the game. And, you know, that's what kind of fans have been clamoring for, you know, about we've been kind of piecemealing the wide receiver room together. And we're kind of wanting to see these freshmen that we have because they're, you know, these are the freshman wide receivers are advertised as what they call burners, you know, guys that can take that top off the defense. And Malachi Coleman certainly looks the part. I mean, 6'5", 215 pounds, and runs like the wind. I mean,
he runs so well. Like, I was so impressed with that route.
He's a fluid runner for sure.
You know, and you look at, like, what's his name? Left before the year for the second time.
Oh, Betts.
Xavier Betts. He did not run like Malachi Coleman runs. Coleman runs look like he was like a high school sprinter, which he was. You know, he's got that natural fluid running ability, which is just beautiful to see go down the sideline and then catch one in the end zone. But go ahead.
Yep. Yeah. No, that was great. It was great to see. And like I said, that kind of locked up the game there. So You know, that was 44 yards, and, you know, that was 44 yards of the 85 yards passing that Heidrick had on the game. So obviously that was a pretty big chunk. I guess, you know, back onto the coaching staff, you know, fans have been on Satterfield, the offensive coordinator, about you know, how the teams looked. And, you know, let's make no bones about it. The offenses looked absolutely terrible, guys. I mean, we thought it would look like Iowa's offense. You know, I was kind of hoping, saying that half jokingly, but it's in the neighborhood. They are all time bad. But I guess, you know, to kind of stick up for Satterfield a little bit, you know, this isn't the offense he's ever ran before. This isn't the offense he's signed up for. I mean, last year he had, Rattler as his quarterback that's thrown it 50 times a game, a drop back, prototypical pro style quarterback. And now he's coming in here. And, you know, like you said, like I have to remind people, Heidrick was the fifth or sixth string quarterback on this roster 6-7 months ago. So to kind of, you know, have to adapt on the fly, and you think Satterfield's ever ran the triple option or the belly G option pass, you know, in his life, he's learning all this offense right along with everybody else. You know, you hear about how Ron Brown's been an integral part in the offense, and, you know, and Osborne, you know, tell him like, hey, if you're going to run that option, you need to hit him with this option pass, you know? So I give Satterfield, which I'll give him some leeway here, because this isn't what he signed up for. This isn't the quarterbacks he thought he'd be coaching. This isn't the offense he thought he'd be running. This isn't the line he thought he'd have. And these aren't the wide receivers he thought he'd had. So to be piecemealing it as he is on the fly, you know, I'll cut him some slack. I guess, what do you think about how Satterfield's done? And, you know, he's having to come in here and ran something he's never done before.
Yeah, I appreciate, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, I appreciate that, you know, he stays pretty humble. You know, he could say, guys, I don't have anything here. I don't have any tools.
These guys suck, like, guys.
Yeah, I mean, and that's not uncommon for some coaches to do. But I just appreciate that he doesn't try to do too much with what we have, because that's when you get in trouble. You know, you see 17 pass attempts on Saturday, and it's like, okay, well, he wasn't pushing the envelope. You know, there's been, you know, Frost had the panic packages where he'd throw Wandale and Luke McCaffrey back at IBAC and run between the tackles and then just completely destroy, one, their confidence and their want to be here. He's playing everyone where they should play. You know, you don't see Fedoni, you don't see them trying to do too much with him and make him just a key point, because that's just putting too much on one guy's shoulders. You have Fedoni running the routes that he should, and, you know, blocking in the run game like he should, and not pressing too much. So he's really, you know, kind of reeling it back and understands, you know, the personnel that he has and the lack of talent that he has. And so
I think pop up every once in a while. You know, you see a couple of possessions where he comes out, throws the ball three times and whatnot, which, you know, you're like, ah, dude, just run the fucking ball. But, you know, like I said,
had 163 rushing yards on the game, and against a tough defense. I mean, give them credit. You know, they always have those stud linebackers, and, you know, it's not the numbers we want, but the numbers we really want are on the scoreboard.
Dubs.
W's. And that's it. And so, yeah, I mean, whether they outgained us in yards is neither here nor there. We came away with a win. They didn't.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. So, I couldn't be, you know, like I said, I'm not going to nitpick, you know, game by game things, especially when it ends in W's. I'm going to take the W's and be happy with them. But, you know, us as Husker fans can never just be happy with anything. We got to pick everything apart. So, you know, I kind of touched on it earlier about the injuries starting to rack up. You know, the entire wide receiving starting core is gone. And now the offensive line has taken a couple more hits with Ethan Piper and Turner Cochran out for the season. Seems like Ethan Piper's is a pretty serious knee injury. So, you know, we're down to, well, now you get Teddy Peraska, which everybody's been clamoring for to get back in there. And then you're going to maybe see it. It didn't sound like he's going to be putting these freshmen in the Sam Sledge or anything. It sounds like Litovsky is going to be getting in there at guard. Henry Litovsky. So, where do you think this puts the offensive line? For me, I'll just start by saying, obviously, you don't want to see anybody get injured, but I'm on record saying they're the two worst players in college football. So it's hard for me. It's hard for me to go, well, you know, it's a big loss. I think we could end up seeing a better unit moving forward. And obviously you don't want to see it come in injuries, but I've been on the Ethan Piper and Turner Cochran, you know, are not very good players. So like you said, you hate to see it happen injury, you know, via injury, but I don't think either of the guys are worth a shit. So I guess, what's your whole thought on how the injuries are stacked up, especially on the offensive side of the ball? I mean, wide receiver core is just as bad.
Yeah, I mean, injury-wise. It's frustrating, and it's not just us. It seems like everywhere in football, there's just a ton more injuries, yep. You know, this year and even the past couple of years. But, you know, I would hate to, you know, buck the trend, but it just seems like every guy that's been in the position to step up for us this year has done pretty well. Right. And it seems like, you know, this young, you know, group of talent that we have, or young group of players we have, they're not really fazed by the big moments and getting put in a spot where they might be a little uncomfortable. So, you know, I should be more worried about this, but it's not like the guys that we had in before were really, you know, breaking the game by any means.
So yeah, it's they weren't first rounders or anything.
Yeah. And I mean, at one point, every guy that we have on our roster was dominant at some level or another. So you got to think, you know, it's in them. And, you know, they didn't always maybe have like the leadership or the, you know, the coaching to really bring it out of them. And maybe that's different now with Rhule. And so I definitely feel, you know, not as worried as I typically would, you know, in other years, just because I feel like, you know, the message is pretty consistent across the board from all coaches. And so what we've seen is just a tough team that's resilient and, you know, can take these punches and punch back. And so on the injury front, I don't know. It just seems like it's a freak year. You know,
yeah, it's not like it's a bunch of soft tissue injuries. I mean, I saw some idiot on there like, oh, who's the training staff?
Yeah, it's like it's not.
You look at the training staff when it's, when it's not fucking dislocated kneecaps and shit, like, you know, like, it, yeah, like what? So, yeah, it's a bunch of kind of, you know, one-off injuries. It's not a bunch
of soft
tissue.
Some people just need
injuries.
To be reminded this is a man's game. People get hurt, you know.
Yeah.
And people are just getting bigger and stronger and faster every year. And so, yeah, this shit's going to happen.
Yeah, go look at the NFL. Every week it's another one or two guys that go down. So, speaking of injuries, you know, kind of been the talking point. It kind of seems that that Harburg is going to be the starter the rest of the year. Whether I don't know if Sims is, you know, full go yet, but I know early on, especially given how poorly Harburg started, you know, two picks basically right out of the gate. I know a lot of fans were clamoring, you know, to see Sims, and I've been on the, you know, we should see Sims if he was the initial starter. You obviously saw something in him. I mean, you talked him up all through camp. This is a Sunday guy. This, you know, this, that, and the third. Well, no one's saying Harburg's a Sunday guy. I mean, he's barely a Saturday guy, you know? What was your thoughts during the game? Were you looking to see Sims? And I guess, what are your thoughts going forward, whether we should see Sims? Or I think there's a spot for playing two quarterbacks. And, you know, we talked about this episodes ago, you know, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. And I'm like, yep. Exactly.
I think that's what they're trying to.
We don't have one.
I think that's what they're trying to avoid too. I know two things. I don't know one. The one thing that I'll start with is Jeff Sims went 0-2 and didn't look good to start the year. What I don't know is how Jeff Sims would have looked beyond that had he not got injured. What I do know is Harburg is 4-1. He's won us games. He's played tough. He's made plays, you know, when, for the most part, when they really needed to be made, you know. One of those picks at the beginning of the game Saturday was his fault. One wasn't.
I mean, the guys laid the country in fumbles also. People are like, well, Sims turned over the ball. It's like, guys, if you've watched the games, this motherfucker is turning the ball over at fucking an epic play.
Sims absolutely does. And then, you know, how many quarterbacks out there are averaging 16 to 22 carries a game too, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, the opportunities to fumble will be there. We just have to do a better job of it. And I feel better when I see Harburg running the ball with that high and tight.
That's one thing I definitely feel good about is when he's running the ball. He's got that Tiki Barber carry, you know,
even Amon Green a little bit.
Yeah, Amon Green, yep.
So. And you know, if there's a guy ready to meet him at the goal line, I'm probably putting my money on Harburg to get over that goal line over him. Because so that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I think that you got to stick with the hot hand. You got to stick with the guy that's finding ways to win games. Yep. Yeah, this was the first time that I was like, maybe Sims might be the move here. But
yeah,
I'm glad they stuck it out with him, because one, that's going to destroy Harburg's confidence, and it's just going to confuse things even more going forward.
Yeah, I get. Yeah, I guess I'd lean towards what you're saying. You know, you stay with the hot hand, you know, whether, you know, as I say, by hook or by crook, you know, wins are wins. And as god-awful as it looks at times, you know, you can't argue with the outcome. So I definitely get, you know, staying with Harburg. I thought they would, you know, I thought this would be the game where we did see Sims even going into it before I saw how Harburg played. But, you know, you stay with the hot hand. You stay with the guy that's winning ball games until, you know, otherwise something else happens. You know, I mean, you can't argue with the results. So it just... I thought maybe they'd be bringing him in for a couple packages or something, but I don't know. I guess it's, you know, like I said, it's one of those things for, you know, the media to talk about, but it doesn't seem to be an issue for Rule. It doesn't seem to be a factor. So,
or even Sims, you know, I made that comment a couple episodes ago that, you know, he wasn't really, you know, talking to anybody on the sideline. He wasn't,
yeah,
completely changed his mindset. I've started to look and notice a little bit more, and Sims is right there in the huddles now. He came up and kind of dapped him up after his second pick and just tried to pick him up a little bit, and yeah. I can appreciate that. So I stand corrected. Never mind. Yep.
You know, I heard somebody bring up in the Omaha station 1620 about, you know, wonder if Sims is asked to you know, to not burn his red shirt on, you know, unless needed to, because he still has a red shirt available, because he didn't red shirt at Georgia Tech. So that would give him, you know, a chance to go in the portal with 2 years to play, because he only played one snap in the one game where he had to come in against Michigan. He had to come in and take a snap.
Yep.
Obviously, he started the first two games. So he still has a red shirt available. So you're able to play the four games. So, you know, people are wondering out loud if, you know, he'd went to Rule and like, hey, I'm here in case of injury, you know, but, you know, don't be doing this sub me in, sub me out shit and burn my red shirt. You know, that way I can preserve two years to play here once I hop my ass in the portal. So,
yeah.
And as I always maintain that the 2024 quarterback is not on the roster. But, you know, as I also say, try to stay in the moment and just, you know, enjoy it while we have it. Because, you know what, it's been a long time since Nebraska's been able to, you know, win the games we should, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Rule said, you know, that, you know, 6 months ago or whatever, three months ago, you know, I don't know if we would have won this game. And, you know, the prior 5-6 years, these are games that we'd lose, you know, where, you know, we clearly look like the better team, should win. But in end of the day, we did something that ended up costing us the game. So, no, it's just good to see the guys playing hard. You know, one of the things I want to talk about was kind of we touched on earlier was, I believe his name's James Williams.
Yes.
A guy that no one in Nebraska had ever heard of before. I don't care who you are. You've never heard of this guy. I guess he was a midsummer walk-on from Topeka, Kansas, went to like Iowa Central Junior College and came and had a tryout, you know, fucking some shorts and t-shirts. And, you know, I guess the coaches saw enough of him, you know, athletic wise to, you know, give him a walk-on spot, but you see him get in there and wreak havoc, man. I mean, he had a sack and a half, another tackle for a loss. And I guess it kind of just back to the rotation we see. I mean, in prior years, because we'd be losing, like the rotations would drive us crazy. You'd be like, oh, well, why do we see this guy one game, then we don't see him? And, you know, when you're losing, you know, you question shit like that. But when you're winning, you're like, oh, that's good coaching. I mean, for instance, a guy like Nick Henrich, you're starting middle linebacker for 3 years, clocked two plays. Was basically a healthy scratch this last game. And the guy's Graber, you know, you've seen him in three or four games, and then you don't see him in this game. And then all of a sudden you've seen this James Williams in. So, you know, you're getting a lot of guys reps and giving a lot of guys an opportunity to get your shine on. And And as you alluded to, that when guys have been called on to get a chance, nine times out of ten, I think everybody's, you know, sees the opportunity. There's very few guys that we've seen like, who the hell is this guy in here? And then they fuck up something. So I guess you want to speak to just kind of the rotation, the amount of players that we're seeing on the team?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a philosophy that everything is incentive-based. You know, you go to practice. If you don't perform, yep, you're not going
to
play.
He's a big practice guy. He alludes to it.
If you're not healthy, if you can't go, you can't give your 100%, you're not going to play. We're going to put somebody else in it. And I think, you know, the type of practice, like I referenced before, you know, it's setting these guys up to be ready and be prepared to come in and make plays when they need to. And, you know, it's no one's job.
You know,
safe,
that's kind of,
you know,
Pete Carroll's whole thing, you know, back when he was at USC competition, like Tuesdays or whatever, you know, like, hey, who wants to get on the field this week? And he'll rule in the press conferences, you know, so-and-so, yeah, you should see him allude to, you know, it, you know, alluding to if he has a good week of practice, of course, that is. And it's like, he's like, he's fucking serious about it, you know. If you don't have a good week of practice, your ass might not be on the field.
Yeah, you got to show up and show out. And you know, if you're not going to do the team any good, then you're not going to be on the field. And so, I mean, I think that's just a message that has been instilled, you know, since, you know, Rule took over. And it has marinated very well with these guys because, like we said, you know, there's not a big time, you know, draft pick on this defense. There's not one.
No,
there's not one person that's
there's not a big time draft pick on this fucking team.
I mean, Isaac Gifford is playing out of his mind, and he'll be lucky to get an invite to camp after the draft. You know, it's like, I mean, and so it's really impressive just to see this whole like group mentality, but. Yeah, like I said, I think it's very incentive based on, you know, what you've done lately and, you know, what your attitude is going forward.
Yeah. And, you know, we saw also some consequences of, you know, you play on the field. Obviously, Rule has been harping on our boy Anthony Grant. From the jump, you know, and I think, I guess there's a couple of different ways you could read Rule's behavior with Anthony Grant. You can either take it as that he knows Anthony Grant is a guy that can be coached hard and can be, you know, and can handle that type of criticism, you know, because there's guys that, you know, a coach goes out and criticizes them in the media and in public. And it's not just one time. I mean, it's a week in, week out thing, you know, and we saw, you know, after Ramir and Gabe Irvin go down, you're thinking, well, he can fumble the ball all he fucking wants. Who are they going to put in, you know? And, well, we saw Emmett Johnson, true freshman, getting the start over. I mean, you know, Anthony Grant fumbled the ball last week, and I was absolutely shocked that, you know, that Emmett Johnson got the start. I was just like, I thought Rule's hand was forced, you know, with the two front guys going down. And he got Emmett Johnson in there, and Emmett Johnson, you know, looked good.
Six yards a carry.
Yep. So it's crazy. It's just like we're piecing it together, man.
Yeah.
It's just, it's crazy.
And Rule wasn't going to stay stagnant just with Emmett Johnson and Anthony Grant. If you don't remember, he also moved Josh Fleeks to running back.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Hey, if you can't do it and Emmett can't do it, then I got my boy Josh from Baylor. He'll come in and do it. He showed you against Michigan.
I had to send home to go get in shape a little bit.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's yeah, it's good to see. I mean, Nebraska, you know, we talked about the defense. You know, Nebraska had their second eight sack game of the season. You know, they had eight sacks against Colorado early in the season. And, you know, so Baylor was able to run the ball a little bit this weekend. But
Northwestern.
We're just talking about Fleeks. Northwestern was able to run the ball a little bit this week, which, you know, was a little surprising. But it was kind of bend, don't break. I mean, they only finished though with 81 yards and 31 carries, but that takes into consideration all the sackage yards too. So, you know, it was kind of bend, don't break. Like I said, the offense kind of turned them over and gave the ball up in their own, side of the field. And, the defense came on and was able to, you know, hold them to three. So just a total team effort. You know, our boy Tristan, or my boy Tristan, you know, got in there, hit a big time kick, you know, swirling winds, man. It was windy.
47 yards into the wind. That's impressive.
And Rhule at his press conference said, you know, well, he missed one in pregame or whatever, and he came over. He's acting like a little freshman. And he said, you didn't need to practice when you came in and hit the 48 yarder to win state championship in this field. So, you know, he stepped up, and I'm sure that was a huge confidence boost for him too. I mean, because like I said, the wind was swirling Saturday. My lips are still fucking chapped from walking around all day Saturday. Shit, I've been having to chapstick up. But, yeah, that was great to see him play. And then Buscini has been, you know, we're not quite on the Iowa level of special teams. But, you know, a good great defense and a good special teams. You know, it'll take you a long way, especially in this anemic conference, this anemic side of the conference especially. So, you got anything else on special teams or anything you wanted to talk about on that?
Yeah, I mean, Buscini, you know, he did fine. Tristan, it's good to see him hit that because that's just going to build confidence. He's young. You know, he needs those kicks.
We're going to need him yep. for some clutch kicks down the stretch.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, all things said, you know, with him being a, you know, brand-new freshman kicker, he's starting to, you know, kind of get into his groove, so I can appreciate that. But
let him pick his way out of the slump.
Special teams, and you mentioned Iowa, so I would be remiss to not mention. You know, you gotta understand what fair catch is, guys. You can bitch all you want and throw all you want on the field, but fair catch is a fair catch. You can't be waving your arm and pointing to your teammates to get away. That's a fair catch, guys. And it was a great return, but unfortunately, it was a fake return. So
yeah, we talked about it, and you know, it's like. You know, it's a tough call.
Great end to that window of games, too.
Yeah, it was a tough call. You know, I'd be pissed if it went against us, but, you know, it couldn't have happened to a better team.
Yeah, it's not like you pulled a conference championship away from us on the last.
Right. So, yeah, Minnesota was able to get the win against Iowa in a slobber knocker of a, what was their score, 13-9 or some other
better remedial
score. Yeah, exactly. Basically us, you know. Our game. So, you know, the last couple of years in Nebraska's terrible years, a lot of people have brought up, you know, maybe Nebraska needs to go back to running the option and be like, you know, kind of like Army or Georgia Tech. You know, they were a triple option team. And it's like, I was like, that was something that just only worked in the 90s. I don't think that's something that could, you know, work at a Power Five major conference level. But, you know, kind of seeing it, how it's kind of played out a little bit. Now, granted, I think that it'd be a lot better if obviously you had a quarterback that could throw the ball a little bit, you know. But what are your thoughts on Nebraska leaning into the triple option, the option, and having that as their base offense? Do you think that is something that they should look at? Is that something you'd be interested in, or what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Maybe for this year, I guess, if you can kind of you can get creative and put a lot of different variations of it out there. You're not going to be able to just line up in the I formation with one receiver and two tight ends and just pound it forward. We know that because our offensive line is, a group of skeletons at this point. But also, we don't really have a true fullback. You know, we have some guys that can kind of play there a little bit, but we don't have Corey Schlesinger or a Makavica or a, you know.
Yeah, I'm just more thinking like, but, you know, if we really lean into it, start recruiting towards it, you know, do you think that, and I think, I think it could work if the Big Ten West was staying around. I think you're taking that out to Oregon and,
I don't think, I think that ship sailed. I mean, we're almost past the whole, like, you know, original West Coast offense being like relevant, you know? So it's like, we've even passed that chapter at this point. So I just don't think, you're not going to attract a lot of big time players like we used to, if you're recruiting for the option too, because that won't get you into the NFL as much as
it'd be hard to recruit receivers here.
I think you'd be challenged, to attract that type of talent. So, like I said, you just got to get creative in how you run it, but you can mix it in here and there. But I just don't think it's going to be like 100% like this is your playbook. Split veer works every time. Like,
Coach Novocaine. Yeah, just like Novocaine. Just give it time, it'll work. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I had just thought about that, you know, and it's like, obviously, we haven't won in so long. I'm just like, you know, is it right? Should we just, you know, go back to the option, you know? But, I mean, Crouch won the goddamn Heisman with more interceptions than touchdowns, which is, you know, is a mind-boggling stat. I think he only had 7 passing touchdowns and 10 picks is the year he won the Heisman, which is just, I mean, it seems like, you know, fucking back in when Minnesota and Army were good, you know, like those were the stats. Wait, this was 2001. A guy won it with 7 touchdowns. Like, Jesus Christ.
Especially when you had Miami with their roster. There was nobody.
Miami with fucking 31 first round picks, you know, and it panned out that way too. It showed itself. It reared its ugly head. So, I guess, you know, another thing I wanted to touch on is the biggest thing going now in college football is the Michigan scandal, or lack thereof scandal. You know, Michigan is accused of stealing signs from opposing teams, which everybody does it. But this is I learned the rules this week. I had no idea that you weren't able to pre-scout opponents, which is fucking one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my life. You know, you're allowed to do it in high school. You're allowed to do it in pros. You're allowed to use technology on the sideline. If you go to a high school game, they got, you know, they look like my basement down there. They got flat screens everywhere. I mean, they're using iPads. They've got a couple 65-inch TVs. I mean, they're using technology to, you know, to help the coaching. And obviously the pros is the same thing. The pros also then have the radios in the helmet for them to call in the place of the quarterbacks and the middle linebackers on defense. And so this has become a kind of big thing. And, you know, I guess you kind of always look at things different. I like Michigan. I like Jim Harbaugh a lot because, you know, he brought my 49ers back to prominence. I like the way Michigan plays football. Like, that's my favorite kind of way to play football is, you know, run the ball, have a quarterback that can run a little bit, but is a thrower, and play tough defense. Like, that's my favorite style.
At the end of the game than the other team.
And win football games. Yes. So that's my favorite style of football to watch. So I'm a fan of Michigan, and, you know, so I kind of was like, yeah, it is what it is. But at the same time, you know, it's cheating, and they're paying some fucking kid which I told you guys yesterday is the biggest issue with this is that this goddamn former Marine, which, you know, as I've met a few Marines, you're never a former Marine. Once you're Marine, always Marine. This motherfucker I don't know where he must have failed his classes because you just left a paper trail. They just caught him Venmoing one of the coaches money for tickets.
And all of his tickets were under his name.
Yeah, I bought it on my StubHub account and caught him.
There's an issue there?
Yeah, caught him at all the games, you know, there with his cell phone, videotaping all the signals. And then I just saw a video of the Ohio State. Oh, that's a very
that's
a very, very damaging video. That one is like, oh, you're cheating. Like they knew he looked over, saw their call, fuck it, and the whole team was like, yep, nope, this is what they're doing. I mean, so, you know, I was talking to my brother, he lives down in Houston, and I was like, you know, I hope the Astros get their ass whipped, them fucking cheaters. And he was like, keep that same energy with Michigan. I'm like, God, yeah, you're probably right, huh? But I guess what's your take on it, Zach? I mean, what's your thoughts on this whole scandal here?
So, yeah, I'm with you. Like, yeah, I mean, if the rules are the rules and you can't do that, then you shouldn't be doing that. But, you know, it would be, you know, ignorant for all of us to think that every team isn't trying to get some sort of advantage over the other team and get creative with it and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, like you said, you know, these images and videos that are coming out are a little bit damning. But at the same time, you know, if you feel like your signals are getting stolen if there's a possibility of your signals getting stolen, you change your signals game by game. I learned that as early as I could in baseball. Every single game, like when I going back to like 12, 13 years old, we had a different steal signal or a different like bunt signal game by game. It was just updated every game. So it would keep everyone on their toes and not allow for this to happen. So I mean, you also have to like mix things up, you know, and as creative as they've gotten lately with the signs and like the hand signs and right. you know, the four images you see on the big boards.
Oh yeah.
It's like,
or the three coaches and if, you know, only one of them's the hot coach, you know,
and if, you got if you're three really coaches trying, over
shit.
If you're really trying to gain a competitive advantage on signs, then it goes the other way too. You have to switch them up every game. You can't just leave it consistent because correct. Somebody is going to pick up on that. So I don't know. I don't think anything big is going to happen out of this. Harbaugh might get suspended, but he's probably just, going he's to the gone. NFL next year anyway.
Yeah. They're after him, man. The NCAA wants him bad.
He's probably
they want him
shit.
Bad. Like, yeah, God. I think I said in episode one this season, I said Michigan's going to win the national championship.
He's going to the Bears.
Yeah, so I still think that's what's going on. I think Michigan's the best team in the country.
It's like if you don't want to get cheated like that, then you know, stay on top of your own signs and switch them up. I mean, it's not that.
Yeah, hard. And then there was that interview with Schiano at halftime, where also very damning. You know, when they played Michigan this year, he's going in halftime and he's like, something's going on. Something's not right over there. Something's happening. We're gonna get to the bottom of it. And you're just like. And but that video I just saw of them against Ohio State, that was that looked like they knew exactly what was going
like
on.
Every player and assistant coach, even the strength trainer, saw that they were making a change at the line of scrimmage, and they all just it's like that Kevin Hart meme where he like puts his head around the corner. They were all looking over at the Ohio State sideline.
And then they all start doing the same. They're all just pointing up.
Yeah, it's that doesn't look good.
Yeah, it doesn't look good. But yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where, yes, it's cheating, but at the same time, it's like, yes, you shouldn't have the same calls and signals every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think Rhule, which he's got a lot of national attention of his kind of reply to the question today at the press conference. And it was, you know... I'm glad he took the high road and he said, you know, perfect. We're all trying to do it. I mean, remember what 2 years ago when Frost had us move sidelines, you know, Nebraska is always on the one sideline and he moved because the press box were on that side. He didn't want people seeing our signs. So this is something that's been going on as long as time. So you're supposed to, and Rhule said, I'm trying to steal your signs, you know, fucking like we're all trying to do it. You know, maybe Michigan took it an extra step or maybe they just get caught taking it that extra step, but I hope I don't see anything happen this season. Like all, you know, they're like, oh, you're ineligible for the playoff or something. Cause that would really,
if they're going to go that far, then just give us that win back and we'll be 5-2 now.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, I said, you know, Herb Street and, Aaron Rodgers last night on Monday Night Football and the Manning cast was talking about, he brought up Matt Rhule. He's like, I really liked Matt Rhule's statement because Rhule was talking about like, you know, well, we need to get with the times and get the radios in the helmets and, you know, stop acting like fucking little kids. I mean, shit, if you can do it at the high school level and the pro level, there's no reason you shouldn't be able to do it at the college level.
Yeah. Especially
for some
since
reason
we're
it was
huddling
banned
up
in 94.
Now. Yeah. Especially since we're huddling up now. It's like, okay, we'll huddle up quick. I'll get the call in. I'll just regurgitate it and we'll go back to the line.
Or, hey, coach, if you don't want your sign stolen, you know, have your receiver run in the play. Huddle. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's
shout out
there's shit you can do. But I'm hoping it blows over. I mean, Michigan's going to get in some kind of trouble, but I don't want to see them getting, you know, a bowl ban this year or something. I mean, that would be absolutely ridiculous. This week, you know, Nebraska moved into tied for second place in the Big Ten West. 4-3, 2-2 on the season in the Big Ten, and you know they're right in the thick of things for, you know. As I said when we were 0-2, you know, we got a lot of bums on our schedule, and it's proved out that way. So Nebraska's won 4 of their last 5 games, which is incredible. And now they got Purdue coming to town. Purdue has lost 4 of the last 5 games. But, you know, I kind of went through their games, and, you know, it's all good teams they've lost against. You know, it's not like they're losing a bunch of bums. They lost to Iowa State or Ohio State, Wisconsin, Syracuse, Iowa. You know, say what you will about Iowa, but so, you know, this isn't just some, easy, you know, gimme game. They're better than Northwestern. We're going to need to play a better game than we did against Northwestern if we're going to get this, victory. They've got the, former transfer quarterback from Texas, Hudson Carr, in there who he's a dual threat. He can run and throw the ball. you know, they Purdue's got a new coach in there after Brohm went to Louisville and has taken over Louisville. So they got a new young coach in there. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, coaches like to, you know, start shit with Nebraska. I guess he's a former Colorado unwarranted guy. Yeah, it's like, wait, who, everybody had to go, who the fuck is this guy? What? And he's got some connection to Colorado. And, you know, he's like, I hate the red color and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I don't know, man. I feel like people just take unnecessary shots at us. And, you know, I'd like to see us get petty at some point and start, you know, maybe talking some shit back to people. But weather is definitely not going to be as nice as was. We're getting into Big Ten weather season. So my wife even said there might be some snow on Sunday, which I'm not quite ready for that. But I guess, Zach, what do you see out of this game Saturday? Have you seen Purdue play at all yet this season?
Just a little bit. No, I think I think the weather is good for us because, you know, he's thrown for 1,600 yards, 7-5, touchdown interception. Purdue always has wanted to run pass. You know, they have that air raid attack. Right. And I think, you know, with the weather being what it's going to be, you know, potentially, I think that plays to our favor because we can hopefully not fumble, but just run the ball and then play good defense and just really take them out of what they want to do. Hudson Card, you know, he's a very capable quarterback, but definitely appreciate the Purdue coach just giving us bulletin board material because, I mean, that's
I think everybody was caught off guard. They're like, what?
Yeah, it's like,
what the fuck are you talking about, man?
Are we rivals now? Like, right. We've never even heard of you. And we didn't think you knew about us. Like,
we got beef with some random Purdue coach that just came on the scene.
And you know, they've kind of had our number lately. And, you know, we put up
Everybody has.
Yeah, I mean, we put up a pretty good fight last year. Trey Palmer had the game of his career against them last year, and we still came up short. And so, you know, we got to continue to just have this chip on our shoulder. You know, it's another 2:30 kickoff, another FS1, you know, broadcast. And so, you know, we continue to get put on, you know, somewhat of the national stage outside of last week, which was fine. But
you see the volleyball team out that drew us to the Eurovice. Fucking, it was the number one volleyball broadcast
ever.
So, you know, 650,000, man.
It's there for the taking for us on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, you know, if we can pull this one off, we're looking really, really good for bowl season.
Because all of a sudden it's like, dude, can we get 7 wins? You know, like, it's,
you hate to even look beyond 6, but
you hate to look beyond 5, you know,
we're looking at right in front 5-3 with, you know, just a deteriorating Michigan State, a Maryland team that's kind of not been as good as everyone thought.
Yep.
Wisconsin's beatable, and then Iowa, geez, that might be a 6-3 finish.
Oh, but, the over-under for that's going to be like 13.
So, I don't know. It's all out there for us. You know, this is where we wanted to be, you know, mid-season for the most part. And so,
absolutely.
You know, I feel pretty good about it. You know, I have my worries with each game, but
right.
Purdue, we're almost due. And I think we match up well. Defensively, at least.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the one saving grace is like, you're like, okay, I know we've got a defense that's going to, you know, outside of playing a team like Michigan or whatever, our defense is going to give us a chance to win every single one of the rest of these games. So it's just a matter of, you know, can we play mistake free or at least limit the mistakes on offense? You know, we'll see how these new offensive linemen get in there. And then I even knew Teddy Proska's played a lot of football for us. He started most of last year. Latovsky's been around for a bit. So, you know, and I guess I'll take all this time also to just, you know, last year Ben Hart was, you know, the whipping boy of this podcast. Ben Hart has came out and played a lot better football this year.
Very good. And Ben Scott's back too. His injury wasn't serious, which I was real worried about.
Ben Scott's been our best offensive lineman, and Ben Hart's. I don't think I've seen or heard his name one time, which is exactly what you want out of your offensive lineman. So,
and Newelly too.
Yep. So, good on Ben Hart for, you know, stepping up and, you know, improving because, you know, he wasn't good there for a while, but, he's had a good season And, you know, we'll see what these new offensive linemen, these second string guys, I guess you could call them, can get in there and do. You know, it'd be nice to have another, you know, a Gabe Irvin type running back when you get into these type of, you know, Big Ten weather games. You know, Emmett Johnson, he's a little light in the ass. You know, he's more of a speed guy than he is a, you know, downhill runner, but he's not Wandell Robinson back there. But, you know, if you had a running back like Gabe Irvin still here, you would feel a lot better about that, because it's, you know, the weather's changing, and now is when we get into Big Ten football, where it's, you know, power football in the trenches. So it'd be nice to have that big battering ram running back. But, you know, I like Nebraska's chances. I hope that Herbert comes out and plays better. You know, I'm looking for this to be somewhere in the 24-21 type game. Yeah, with Nebraska coming out top, I think, you know, playing at home is obviously a big helper for us. And I think that's why it'll slow down the game. And, you know, look for Herbert to take care of the ball better and make some better decision making, because it's not, you know, I was trying to talk to my boss about it today. He didn't see the game, and I'm like, it's not that he can't throw the ball, because you just see the one highlight him throwing to Malachi Coleman. You're like, beautiful. That motherfucker can clearly throw the ball, you know, but it's like, you know, but it's his decision making, and, you know, it's all the other aspects of playing quarterback that in the throwing game that he struggles with. It's definitely not arm strength or anything like that, because he let that motherfucker fly there to Malachi, man. That was a very nice play there. I like that a lot. So, I guess, Zach, what kind of score are you seeing for Saturday, or anything else you want to talk about this game coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you with Harburg. You know, I will say, you know, his first pass interception, you know, he had Fedoni for a touchdown on that play.
You think he's trying to force it to Fedoni too much because that's his, you know, security blanket?
I think that, you know, he should be trying to force it to Fedoni, because it's right now he's the best receiver on the field for us.
Correct.
And so, you know, he would be kind of dumb not to try and get him involved. But I'm with you. You know, I look to Harburg to really try and, you know, own this offense, hang on to the ball, you know, run tough, make good decisions. But I see it as more of a, like a 20-10 win for us.
Yep.
You know, I think this game might be one where we finally get a defensive touchdown. Because, you know,
that's one thing the ball, defense hasn't done is turn over the ball a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think maybe the ball comes on the turf, you know, once or twice for us, and we might be able to scoop it up or catch it and run it in. But, that might be the difference maker in the game. But yeah, I like us to win 20-10.
And what's the betting line? Three points.
It's like two or three. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is right. You know, I mean, like I said, they're not a bad team. They're an equal to us at this point in time. So, let me see here. So, I mean, the ESPN FPI has it at 51.9% for Nebraska. So, I mean, that's razor thin.
Yep.
So, we're a 2.5 point favorite. Over under is 20. So, Nebraska's going to need to be on the ship.
Over under is what was the over under?
Over under is 40, I think I might
have said. Oh, I thought you said 20. But, oh, my goodness. Yeah. I had to, like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Over under is 40. So 2.5 point spread. FPI is at, you know, 51%. So, you know, this is a coin flip game. So it's going to come down to, you know, turnovers, third down conversions, you know, mistake free football. So,
yeah. And then you hate to look ahead, but Michigan State next Saturday. They're potentially losing three of their top starters on offense and defense to the portal midseason because of how bad things are going there.
Yep.
So,
They're tapping.
There's blood in the water there, too. Yeah, there's blood in the water there. So,
And the one thing I forgot to mention about Purdue, they're coming off a bye week. So, you know, they got an extra week of preparation for us. So, I don't know. It's, you know, anxious to see how the boys come out and play. I feel like I know when to get out of the defense, and, you know, the rest is kind of a game by game, play by play type thing. So you hope the guys come out and you know, make the necessary plays, because you know, the state's starving for a bowl game. You know, I'm already we're already looking at tickets, you know, because there's a projection of us maybe playing in Phoenix the day after Christmas.
I saw Vegas Bowl too.
Yeah,
against USC.
Oh shit!
Yeah,
damn. I forget what the one in Phoenix is called, but it's the one played at the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
Against TCU or BYU, and then on the low end, I saw the the one up in Detroit, which I've actually got a lot of family up in Detroit, but we were playing a MAC team. So
it was Ohio.
Was it Ohio? Yep. That sounds about right. So, you know, you'd hope to, you know, go to a nice warm place. You know, Vegas or Phoenix sound pretty damn good to me.
Yep.
You know, I've been both of those places three times this calendar year, but might as well make it four. You know, it's the time to go, December. Shit.
Yep.
So, one game at a time. So, you know, I guess best of luck and, you know, GBR as always. HC, what your boys do out there this weekend. Zach, you got anything else?
One more try here. Great moments are built from great opportunity. Herb Brooks. Okay. That's what we have here, boys. Go win at Herb. Go beat Purdue.
Yep. And, you know, we got NBA tipping off tonight and we've got Game 7 and the MLB, Phillies and Diamondbacks. So, you know, this is the month of the year that, you know, the rest of the months lead up to, you know, this is,
oh yeah,
and December and January, we're craving sports and football. This is it. We got NBA, we got football, basketball, Nebraska ball will be tipping off here soon. Baseball is going to be starting the World Series here in 2 days. This is it. So take it all in and enjoy it while it's here. So, cause it'll be gone. We'll be fucking begging for it as soon as it is.
Yep.
So
go Big Red.
As always, GBR.
This is the Big Red Revival.